What's your biggest fear? If public speaking instantly sprung to mind when I asked that question, then you need to tune into today's episode. Storytelling on stage, whether we're talking about a physical stage or a virtual one, can be extremely beneficial for building a profile, showing your expertise, and empowering your target audience. So if the whole idea freaks you out, I highly recommend listening to the advice provided by today's guest, Norman Bell. I also share one of my personal embarrassing public speaking moments, but guess what? I survived. Grab your pen and paper, everyone, and let's dive in. Welcome to the Marketing ME podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer, who's here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send it into the online, scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today, I'm joined by my guest, Norman Bell. Welcome, Norman.
Hello. Great to be here. Thank you, Leanne.
Great to have you here. So I will just read out your bio so everyone knows who you are. So Norman is a storytelling and presentation coach, award-winning speaker, theater and film actor, and author of the book, The Story-Powered Speaker, How to Own the Stage, Enchant Your Audience, and Grow Your Business Using the Magical Power of Storytelling. Very cool. He is passionate about helping purpose-driven entrepreneurs and organizations communicate their stories and messages more effectively so that they can connect with their audiences on an emotional level, which leads to more clients, more donations, and more impact. Love it. I love it. So driven. I can feel it.
Purpose-driven. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So tell us a bit more about your book. It sounds... Yeah. How long did it take you to write? Was it, what drove you to write it?
Yeah. So, let's see. In brief, I had a podcast myself. I mean, I still have it. I'm not doing it on a regular basis. It's called the Hell Yes Life podcast. And that's actually based on, I won't go into the full story, but when I was in high school, I ran for a student council position with the slogan, Hell Yes, Vote for Norm, and ended up winning the election in a landslide. And 25 years later, was looking back on those two words and was like, oh, I've got to use those somehow, and ended up launching this podcast. And I had this idea for a few years that what I was going to help people do was follow their passion. And in the meantime, I also started up a kind of a side business around doing these storytelling workshops. And so I kind of was going back and forth, and I don't know if there's entrepreneurs out there listening that can relate with it, with the idea of having a lot of ideas and having a hard time picking a lane, right? And deciding which direction to go. So I was going back and forth between, you know, follow your passion, helping people follow their passion or tell their story, follow their passion or tell their story. And then 2020 came along, and speaking of inciting incidents, that's one of the marks of a story is when the story really gets started. Well, we all had, you know, this is a very unique time that we're in, actually, because we're all on the same journey to a certain extent. Of course, we have our own individual journeys within that, but we all have the same inciting incident I don't know if the timeline works in Australia or not, but like March of 2020 was, was when everything shut down. Right.
Yep, same,
and at
yeah.
the, yeah, yeah. And at the same time, I also had a health, issue come up. I went in for just right as the pandemic was taking off. I went into a dermatology appointment and, found out that I had very early stage skin cancer, melanoma. And it was on my foot near my ankle or whatever. And it was just like this, double whammy because, I ended up having to get a surgery. And I found myself like, it was like April 15th and everything had shut down and me and my, wife and daughter were shuttling across to a nearby city, Bellevue for me to go get the surgery. And, you know, it was caught very early and it was removed. So everything's fine. And I've been, you know, going to check up since and everything's been fine. Encourage anybody out there to get your checkups on a regular basis. Go see your dermatologist if you have any thought of that. But I got back from that surgery and maybe a week afterwards, I was laying in bed. And my leg was up on this leg pillow. My foot was all bandaged up from the surgery, and I furrowed my brow and I looked down at that and I thought, like, you know, these things that come up in our lives like this, when you're trying to follow your passion, they seem like they're just obstacles that are standing in the way of that. And but then I realized what they really are. They really are your story, because your story isn't about how everything works out great all the time. Nobody really wants to hear that story. They want to hear the story of how you faced challenges, you know, and obstacles, and hopefully overcame them. But maybe you didn't, but you learned a lesson, you know? And so it was at that moment, I remember I actually said, as I was looking down at my bandaged up leg, is like, I'm going to help people tell their story. And so about a month later, I signed up for this micro book class, and within about 8 weeks of that, I had a first draft of the book, and it sort of evolved from there. And, you know, kind of long story short, about a year later, I published it on Amazon. So it came out last June. So there you go.
Wow. There you go. Cause I have heard, you know, we've all got a story inside us, and look, I do plan to write a book one day. I've just actually recently been talking to a couple of people like yourself who've written books. And you know, I know I will do it. It's just a matter of when. And I'm not the type to not just say these things and it never happens. Like I said, I'd start a podcast and I made it happen. So I'm thinking even next year I might start at least, you know, get the beginnings of it together and just see what happens. But nice. I love that. And it's so true. People don't want to hear just the happy side of things, because that's just a boring story. Like, you just don't pick up any book and go, so, you know, Jane Smith lived a happy life. The book will be over in two pages, right? So right. Love it. Okay, so today we're talking about professional speaking, like storytelling on stage. And I want to ask you, now, as a business owner, what are the benefits of professional speaking on stage? I mean, even running workshops and things like that.
Well, I mean, and, you know, to be mindful again of the time that we're in, maybe there's not many of us that are getting a chance to speak live on stage in front of large groups of people, although knock on wood, maybe we will be able to be doing that soon enough. But I think we've all learned to kind of, you know, dial back our expectations, right, at this point. But I would say actually, whether it's here online or on stage, one of the benefits for me, I can just say, and I'm sure there's some of your listeners that can relate to this. Maybe, you know, a lot of people like public speaking has been named like the number one fear of humans, like even over death, in some surveys. So a lot of people might be like, what are the benefits of this? I don't see any benefit. I don't want to do that. But there might be some kind of crazy people like me that for whatever reason love to get up on stage. And for some reason, for me, I just kind of light up on stage and really, really enjoy. I have an acting background. I've acted in the theater and in film, as well as doing public speaking. And so that would be one benefit, is just the joy of doing that and sort of and connecting with an audience. Again, let's assume that we're going to be back in front of live audiences soon enough. Just that the benefit of getting that live interaction and also getting feedback from your audience and really knowing like what's landing with them. So that's just a basic one. For your business, it's almost impossible for assuming that you're doing a good job up there, we're just going to have that as table stakes, that you're doing a great job on stage, you know, and you're telling your story and you've got compelling products and services. And
you need that to begin with, right? You need something to say.
Of course. That it's nearly impossible for the audience not to see you as sort of an expert, you know, that you're just the very position of you up on stage and them in the position of listening to you, it positions you as an expert. Maybe in the same way that, you know, Leanne has this podcast, it might be hard for you to not think of her as an expert, or maybe me talking about storytelling right now. So it's one of those opportunities, I think, to position yourself as an expert. Obviously, the visibility of public speaking, and especially if you're, let's say you have an opportunity to speak at someone's live or online event, you know, that gets you in front of new audiences. And again, we could say the same for this podcast interview, right? So I'm getting a chance to speak to you, Leanne's audience, listener. So you know, there's potential clients in the audience. I've had many a workshop or a public speaking opportunity where afterwards, people will come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, I work at a company where we could really stand to, you know, learn some of the nuts and bolts about storytelling. Let's talk about having you come in." And of course, you know, other unexpected and unforeseen, you know, opportunities as well. You know, partnerships and so forth. So I think the benefits are many.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so I've done some professional speaking training as well. And I know, actually one thing we were taught though in our training was because we're up on this stage, up on this pedestal, it is actually good to help make the audience relate to you deeper. If you kind of make a joke, things like, you know, how your intro is usually read out and you go on stage, everyone's got these high expectations of you, and you go, "Oh, thanks for that lovely intro that I wrote," and just kind of maybe people laugh, or you just purposely stumble, or you just crack a joke, and then straight away, yes, people see you as being the expert, but also an expert they can relate to, and not someone sure. that like they see as being too high above them that they could never possibly work with or approach or anything like that. And I think it's, but just, yeah, just like podcasting or appearing virtually or on stage, it all just helps to show that. Well, one, you have the confidence to sit up, you stand up and be visible, you have something to say. And I just think I personally haven't had the opportunity to present on stage yet, but I have been invited for an opportunity in February. It was meant to be next month in November, now it's in February. So that's pretty exciting because, yeah, you just don't know who's in the crowd, like what's going to come from that, right? It's very exciting.
Yeah. And I think that it's kind of like under this umbrella of content marketing in general, right? Like even, you know, what you're doing right now with your podcast, Leanne, or, you know, if you write a blog article or whatever else, like you have to almost kind of let go of what am I going to get out of this, right? You know, and get into the mindset of like, how can I be of service with this? I'm hoping that somebody in the audience is going to get something meaningful out of this. And then usually it kind of comes back around, whether it's straightforward or sort of tangential or whatever else. So.
Actually, yeah, on that note, I have been to conferences where the speakers on stage have given real surface level information. I say this for webinars as well. Please don't just do surface level and then go, if you really want to delve into these issues, you know, come buy my thing. Please don't do that. Because it was just this conference, it was a media related one. I thought these people have so much to say, and it was almost a salesy message the whole way through. So that's one little thing that I think that's where the storytelling comes into, which brings into the next question, actually. So if someone does have the opportunity to speak a virtual summit, which I know are quite big at the moment, or on stage or whatever, how does the storytelling come into it, and how can they ensure they start their presentation with a bang? I'm listening as well for me.
Yeah. And I think this speaks to what you were saying before about, you know, like, oh yeah, the speaking sort of positions you as an expert, but you want to kind of show that you're human as well. And so, storytelling does a great job of that because, you know, like I said, I've found, you know, as I started to look at across, you know, as I study this, you know, what's one of the common elements of stories, whether it's Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or your favorite Netflix bingeable series or whatever, it's conflict, trouble, challenges. You know, it's never going to be about how everything went well and then you won. You know, it's just not, that's too short of a story. So how can you start with a bang is I have these tips outlined in my book, but just briefly, I recommend, so one thing that I would recommend not starting with is, like you were saying, Leanne, like you may be introduced by someone else anyway, right? Somebody will do your bio. So if that wasn't the case, I would recommend that you not do that and say, hi, I'm Norman Bell. And today I'm going to be talking to you about storytelling. First, we're going to talk about this, that, and the other. Oh, and I'd like to thank my, the host of the event, et cetera, et cetera. So you have one chance to really grab people's attention and you can get to that stuff, but do it later. And so I recommend diving straight into a story and perhaps even into the middle of the story, like cut to the chase and take us to the moment that is, you know, one of the moments of greatest impact of your story, almost to the point where people like you're describing the scene of the story too. So it's, the car came, I was in front of the convenience store and suddenly the car was coming straight at me. I jumped out of the way and the car was whatever it is, but it's like, something that's going to bring people in immediately. And they may not even know exactly like, what is he even talking about? That's okay. Because one storytelling element is this sort of like, knowledge gap, you know, like people lean in when they're like, whoa, I don't know what's going on, but I'm intrigued. So that's what I would recommend doing is kind of diving into your story. I mean, obviously not just for a gimmicky effect. It should be, you know, a story that's tied in. Maybe it's your origin story or, you know, it could be some other story related to your life or your talk. I would go straight in there. And then, after you've kind of set the scene, then you can back up and say, well, here's where this scene fits into the story. And, oh, by the way, I'm Norman Bell. I'm going to be talking to you about storytelling. Those are a few ideas.
Yeah. And then of course you go through all the main content of your talk and at the end you go, oh, so let's go back to that scene. And you know, and then quite often the audience have forgotten about it, but they're like, oh yeah. No, yeah. What did happen there? Cause they were so involved with the rest of what you had to say. But yeah, I haven't played around with that little formula yet, but I would love to. I've seen other people do it in action and go, oh, it's just so clever the way they do that, all tied back and wrapped in a nice little bow. Can you share some tips and how people can ensure a stage presence throughout the whole, it could be 10, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, like to keep their energy up, keep the audience engaged because, you know, our attention spans these days are getting shorter and shorter. What are some tips you have around that?
Yeah. So, again, coming from the theater background that, and in my book, I kind of talk about this a bit, that there's, you know, for storytelling, there's two parts. There's the story, which is sort of the horizontal axis, sort of the past and future. And then there's the teller, you know, the vertical axis, which is our presence. And you can have the greatest story in the world, but if you don't show up to tell it, it's just not going to have the same impact. And so, I am an inside out kind of a guy. You know, there's some speaking coaches that are, you know, will coach their clients on, okay, now look surprised and move your arms back and then pretend like you're drinking a soda. I do encourage act out moments, but those are sort of icing on the cake, not kind of core work. I believe in sort of finding that authentic place in yourself that's actually excited to tell this story, because we tell stories all the time. One of the things that I like to get across is that storytelling isn't something that's just, in the realm of, you know, for, it's not for best-selling authors and Pixar animators, for example. Like, we all tell stories all the time. And again, focusing on this as a an area of expertise, I've started to just realize, like, oh, we're surrounded by stories all the time. And so you listening to this podcast, you're already a great storyteller. Whether you believe that or not, it's true. And you know, if somebody asks you the question, what did you do last weekend? Your answer is probably going to be a story. Yeah. You know, it could be a not great story if everything went well, or, you know, you could have had this really unusual and unexpected situation come up last Sunday that is going to make a great story. So I'm a fan of leaning into the way people are already telling stories and then kind of building on that, and also looking for the stories that people are that authentically light people up, that make them come alive as they tell them. That's kind of what I'm looking for in those early stages when I'm working with people and doing that kind of mining for story gold, is these stories that when they start telling them, it's like the story tells itself through the person in a way. And so some of this is sort of like, it's not about adding things. It's about, you know, we were all kids, and I have an 11-year-old daughter, Leanne. I know you have kids too. And, and I've worked with kids in the past. Like, kids are great storytellers, and they're naturally animated, and they'll go into all kinds of role play and everything else. And we all have that in us. And then we've kind of had it layers of adulting sort of added on top. So I encourage people to kind of strip some of that away. This is sort of some of the world of improv too, is just sort of getting your story up on its feet, playing around with it, tapping into your inner kid and going for it.
Yes, no, I love that. It's so true. And so, sending in a kid, I had to think of the TV show Bluey. Which, I know it's gone to the US, the cartoon. Your daughter being a bit older, maybe you haven't seen it, but the stories they tell, it just describes parenting like so well, which is why I think parents love the show sometimes more so than the kids, because they're like, yes, that's exactly what parenting's like. And the kid's like, yes, that's what imagination's like. And yeah, and you know, I think you were saying with all the layers of adulting, piled on top, I think that's where then the lack of confidence can come in. Like, oh, is this story actually interesting? So you're halfway through the story, and if someone's eyes start to kind of wander elsewhere, like, oh, it's boring, you kind of sum it up and go, oh, yeah, and then, you know, then we went home or whatever it is. But I think it's really going, no. And then when you are picking a story for, you know, for stage, for example, you go, all right, what's something that's going to be really relatable that that ties into my story, that I'm, you know, sharing, there's a lesson in there and that people can relate to. I think it's, yeah, there's so much power in that.
Yeah. And some people's stories, you know, I work with people on their kind of their origin stories sometimes of their business. Like, why do you do what you do? You know, your why story. Right. And sometimes it's really obvious, you know, it's like somebody in a workshop I was doing, you know, they had a health issue, and that health issue led them to seek, you know, different forms of treatment. And that led them to the business that they're doing now. Then you can still work on how you're going to tell that story, even if, like, well, this is obviously where this came from. And then for other people, the answer might be a little bit, harder to pin down exactly. And so I usually encourage people to start with their kind of turning point moments in their lives, you know, moments where something changed, got better or got worse. But something that changed you in some way. And, those are often places, good places to start, at least, start the story mining for story gold process.
Yeah, actually, when I did my professional speaking training, my 3-day boot camp, I heard so many amazing stories of people, like real life changing events that they were sharing. Yeah. And I'm like, my topic was just about me having like low self-esteem as a kid and imposter syndrome. Oh, I feel like it's got no meat compared to what they've got to say and share. And I said that to someone during the weekend going, oh, I just feel like it was ironic. I feel like I was an imposter over the the topic of imposter syndrome. And they were like, but that was still like a traumatic for you. Like your friends couldn't relate to you and you struggled with that. That's your thing. Yes, you weren't in a major car crash. You weren't abused. Yeah. Thank goodness. But everyone, you have something inside that you can share for sure.
Yeah. And I would make the point that, that sometimes it can be intimidating. Like there's some people that I feature in my book. They, you know, were in a plane crash or they climbed Mount Everest or something like that, but we don't need, you know, smaller, you know, more dated, quote unquote, day-to-day stories are, perfectly great. You know, they're great stories as well. And sometimes people can relate to them more anyway, for just the reason you were just saying there, you know, like, so it's like, well, I feel like I haven't done something like that, but I can certainly relate to Leanne's story about this thing that she experienced, you know, when she was young and she was feeling low self-esteem. So yeah. Many different types of stories are very valid.
Yeah, perfect. So are there any like game day rituals that you can share to calm the nerves, remain empowered? Because like you said, like many people fear public speaking. I'm like you. I'm out debating at school. I was always I think from when I was a kid, home videos, my dad would just put the camera on and say, you know, where are we, Leanne? And I'd just be thrown into, well, we're currently at this place. What's the name of it again? And blah, blah. So I kind of got used to it. And then, yeah, public speaking or debating and I had a very terrible or funny story of an impromptu speech actually in high school. It was one of those things that I'll just share quickly. The piece of paper was, the truth is out there. Now, if I actually watched The X-Files, I could have actually had something to say, but I went completely blank through the whole preparation time. I came out in front of the audience, which is probably only about 20 people, mainly kids and their one or two parents, and I just had nothing to say. I come out and say, the truth is out there, because, you know, it's got to be there somewhere. And then I had nothing else. And I still have this memory of and my two, you know, debating friends were just like, sit down, just get off, just because they felt more embarrassed than me. I was just like laughing, going, this is so funny, I've got nothing to say. you know, but I survived it. I was actually, I figured if I laugh it off, it's fine. And since then I have gotten better at doing impromptu things. But yeah, go back to the question. We'd love to hear your thoughts and how people can calm the nerves and just stay in control of their talk, especially if they don't have palm cards. Because I know when you are on stage, it's a kind of courage because you can actually lose your place and stuff yourself up more if you have place cards than if you just have it in your mind. So over to you.
yeah. And hey, at least you got a good story out of that experience.
I got a story. Right? That's right. So, and quite often now, something funny or awkward happens, I think, wow, that's a great story to tell later. So I think of it that way rather than the dive embarrassment in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing, and again, I come from a theater and film background, and particularly in theater, you know, I did a solo show that was an hour and 20 minutes and I played 11 different characters. And, I kind of committed to doing this thing and I, you know, rented the rehearsal space. And then I had 6 months to put it together. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? This is crazy. And it was about the subprime mortgage industry as well. So, I did it right. And I rehearsed like crazy to get my lines down. And, some people have a bit of an objection about that in the public speaking realm of, well, I don't want to sound stilted, or wooden, I kind of want to, you know, feel, like I'm kind of improvising and so forth. I would argue that if you want to feel that way, then you need to rehearse more, you know, not less. So what you want to get to is the point where that your brain isn't having to work to call up the lines, right? It's just in there. And it's like muscle memory in a way. And then when it's in at that place, then you can play around with it. You know, then you can kind of, you know, if your lines can be a little bit fluid, but you know where you're going, right? And you're not having to think about it, because I think it's, you know, it's when we're in this place, like you said, with the note cards, that we're going to, we're going to put ourselves in this brain freeze moment where we're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it's kind of downhill from there. So that would be that's before game day though. That's not on game day. So do a lot of that. Actually, I encourage you to rehearse your speech. And then on game day, treat it like game day, right? Like it's a football game that you're preparing for or something. And I meditate, so I would do some mindfulness practice. That is, if you don't do that, if you're listening to Leanne's podcast and you're in the health and wellness field, you're probably aware of the benefits of that anyway. But it just clears the mind, settles the mind, so you can be more present in general. So I definitely do some of that. I would stop rehearsing. So on game day, hopefully you've already done enough rehearsing. And now is not the time to try to get crammed for the test, right? So you're going to want to let it go and just try to be focused on being present. Dress for success. It depends on what your event is. Obviously if it's, you know, a Zoom event, then at least dress for success from the waist up, or the neck up. But yeah, dress appropriately. And let's see, what do I write here? Drink water is a big one for me. And I actually even have my water bottle handy right here. And I even take sips throughout my podcast interviews, because I've had some, kind of nightmare moments on stage when I didn't bring water out, and where like halfway through your mouth dries up and then you're kind of smacking your way through the rest of the speech. And so for me, it's a decent trade-off to just have a small bottle of water out there that you can go through throughout your speaking engagement. And then I would also say arrive early, even if it's, you know, something like this online. I did that actually before this podcast interview, just to make sure that my microphone was working, and I reviewed some of the questions that Leanne said she might be going over, et cetera, rather than leaving yourself sort of, you know, in the lurch and trying to wing it. So those are just a few ideas.
They are great tips. I think that would help so many people out there. Just the meditation as well, just to calm. Yeah. Not the cramming part too. I like that.
Yeah.
This is really great. So everyone, if you haven't gotten the opportunities, I mean, look, now's probably time for lining up for 2022, most likely. But put you to the ground for opportunities to be in workshops, whether you're running your own or you're a guest. Presentations, conferences, put your hand up. Don't be afraid to just ask. That's one of my little things. If you don't ask, you don't get. So you just don't know. And so if it is, you know, conferences will be planned for next year. A lot of things will probably reschedule from this year, or they originally had interstate or international guests. And now, hey, you're unsure. Maybe you can be that great little filler. Put your hand up. So follow those tips from today with Norm and see how you go. It's been really great, Norm. So I always ask my guests this, this series of questions. One is, what's the best marketing method for your business?
Well, one thing that's been working for me recently is doing podcast interviews. Oh, wait a second. I'm doing one right now. This is great. It's a great way to get get yourself in front of different audiences. It's a lot of fun. It's a great, great way to meet, other amazing people like, Leanne. And, so that's been great. I've been doing a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. As far as my social network stuff goes, I prefer it over Facebook or Twitter or whatever, because it has a professional orientation. And so a lot of what I'm doing is, you know, I'm wanting to work with small business owners, but also organizations. So that's a good place for me to be.
Yeah, I agree with those. I'm on LinkedIn and do the podcast thing. I want to, get into some more as a guest as well. I've dabbled my toe in. It's so nice actually to be the guest at times because I can just sit back and answer questions rather than run it and make sure my technology is working. And how do you take care of your health and wellness?
Yeah, I mean, what I mentioned before, not just for preparing for a speech, meditation has been a big benefit for me over the years. I'm not like going to Buddhist temples or anything, although actually I've been to some Buddhist retreats, but I wouldn't, necessarily call myself a Buddhist. Just meditation. The longer, the better, but at least 10, 15 minutes in the morning is very helpful. A bit of exercise. I'm looking at my exercise bike here. I'm not running marathons or anything, but even just a little bit of exercise in the morning is helpful. Getting a good night's sleep is important. So staying off of this is a kind of a hit and miss, but trying to stay off of screens, maybe an hour before bed, and trying to get to bed at a decent hour. I tend to be more of a morning person. And then, just some general stuff around getting support. I have a lot of people that I, in my support network that I check in with, when I'm dealing with, different challenges and stuff. So, not making, my wife and I talk through things sometimes, but it's great to have outside, people to listen and give their thoughts to. So
yeah,
there's a few things.
Love it. Love it. And how can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to, if you wanted to start with the book, you go to storypoweredspeaker.com. That's storypoweredspeaker.com. And that's my book page. You can end up going to the Amazon book page from there as well. And then you'll also see in the top navigation bar, links to my courses and coaching programs. And of course, you can also email me if you have any questions at norman@normanjbell.com.
Fantastic. All that will be in the show notes, of course. And thank you so much, Norm. That's been a really great chat. I hope you guys listening have enjoyed it as well. But yes, thank you so much. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Leanne. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. So thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes to the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn to search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under Leanne Shelton 247 or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.